Well, go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews. I've really got some direction from the Lord on this while we were in Ohio. I understand my assignment, at least this next phase of it, a lot better than I did before. And I don't want to preview too much of it, but I'm telling you right now, the church has got to go from milk to meat in every area, not just the doctrine on the born-again trail. And thank God, I don't mean to minimize that. If you don't have that, we have your assignment already. You already have your assignment for you. And that's to listen to the born-again trail. And I mean all, was it six volumes, ten lessons in each? Until you can preach it as good as Dave, you're not done yet. Now, I don't mean you have that same anointing, but until you have it understood like that, that's your assignment. You've got to understand that. But then in every other area, because the big problem with the body of Christ at large, and I'm not so much here, but you got to understand when I teach here, I'm teaching around the world too. The big problem with the body of Christ is it's still on milk, or maybe not even quite milk. A lot of it you'd have to say is umbilical cord. I don't know. Well, let me show you what I mean. It's right here in Hebrews. So look in chapter 5. I'll show you exactly what I mean. Paul had the same problem. And we'll start in verse 12. This won't take more than 3 hours, so you'll be okay now. Don't worry. I'm teasing. A little bit. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Now, why do people stay on milk? Why do they not digest the strong meat? Remember, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I'd like to give you meat. I'd like to. You reckon he had meat to give them? Sure he did. He says, I'd like to give you meat, but I just simply can't. Why? Well, you're babies. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't love babies. Don't we love our babies? You better not come after one of my babies. I'm telling you right now. I don't care if they're 40. We love our babies, and we just witty-woo, they're so cute, and all they do is make messes and cry, but we just love them, you know? But you cannot feed a baby, no matter how much you love it, you cannot feed it a T-bone steak. It has no system to process it. It has not matured yet. It can't, no matter how bad it wants meat, it can't process it. That's why Paul said, I'd love to give you meat, but I can't, because you're just, you're babies. Well, and for years, I'll be honest with you, I think that was kind of the mandate for teachers in the body of Christ, because you start teaching a little bit of meat and they run like scalded dogs. I'm going to run down to the first church where they tell me I'm okay. You know, I mean, look around you. You know, Jim Martin said, I tell you, I can take a church of 5,000 and in 3 months I can have it down to 50. You know, so look around you. People run away from strong meat. Why? They're babies. But why are they babies? Well, Paul to the Corinthians said because they were split and carnal and divided. But he says it a little, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews says it a little differently here. He tells you why people stay on milk. Now I'm going to read verse 12 again, and this time I'm going to read on a ways because I want you to see the flow. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as has need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, let's do stop right there for a minute. Why do they stay on milk? Because they are unskillful in righteousness. They do not yet understand what God has done for them. Therefore, they keep slipping back into works, trying to earn something that cannot be earned. It can only be received. And until you get past that, you're always going to be in danger of stumbling and falling back to the law. That was the whole, this is the book of Hebrews. This is written to people who grew up Jewish. They grew up under the law. That's how do you please God, Daddy? Father, mother, teach me. How do you please God? Well, you keep the law. And that's what they understood until somebody came and preached Christ to them and preached that he is the sacrificial lamb. He is the lamb. All those lambs that were sacrificed in the Old Testament, they all pointed to him. He is the ultimate sacrifice. So eventually they became Christians and they turned from trusting in the law in order to save them to trusting in the finished work of Jesus and trusting in his blood. So they became Christians. But now what the devil has done is brought persecution against them. Trouble. From their own houses first, you know, even today, a Jewish young man he'll become a Christian. I mean, the daddy will thunder on him and say, look, if you don't give up this Jesus and go back to the law of Moses, I'm going to have a mock funeral. You'll be no son of mine, and the inheritance I was going to give you, I'll give it to your brothers. I mean, pressure to reject Jesus and go back to the law. And as long as they are unskillful in understanding what really happened to them on the born-again trail, what really happened to them when they went from death to life, what really happened to them when God, in Christ, the whole species of Adam died, God out of that species now has raised a new species from the dead, and there's now a second man, the last Adam, who is the progenitor of a new species born of God. And you're not trying to get blessed anymore. And that's the problem. We keep going back under teaching that says, if you do this, you will be blessed. God says in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, already blessed you with every spiritual blessing that he's got in heavenly places. You cannot earn it. You cannot do anything to earn it. You can only receive it and walk in the joy of it and the knowledge of it. And until you become like that, you're still subject to going back under the law. You're dismissed. Glory to God. That's it. That's it. That's the whole thing. Let's go on a little bit more here now. Now, if you see what you don't understand yet, this is my introductory message on a new series on finances. Because until you get past this kind of thinking, you're not a candidate. You can never walk in God's finances. Never. Not ever. I'll show you from the Word. Until you're free from the law, you're on your own, honey. He'll bless you all he can. But he can't bless you more than you can receive. Because it's already been paid for in Christ. I ought to dismiss you again right there and let you go think about that for about a year. Pray in the Holy Ghost and chew on that like a cow with a cud. Bring it up again and again till you go, I got it. Because only then do you get free. You know, you couldn't put Jesus under the law. Who's going to convince him he's not God's son and heir of all that the Father had? Why do they keep convincing you? Well, because we, to some level, me too, we're all in a process of becoming skillful in this word of righteousness and understand what he's really done for us. Let's read a little further. Strong meat. Verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, by reason of use of what? Dead quiet in here. Nobody's saying nothing. The use of the strong meat of the word. You can come to the place where even... You can look in Galatians and find out that your spirit man is going to be at war with your outer man, the flesh, until you get a new body. That war is not going to cease. The flesh is not going to become nice. You're going to get a new body one day. I'm looking forward to that. But while you abide in this one, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Those two are opposed to one another. Now, the one that wins is the one that gets fed the most. You're either going to chew on the strong meat of the word and grow up, or you're going to keep feeding the flesh what you've been feeding it. And I'm not talking so much about food here as I'm talking about what you think about, what kind of ideas you feed it. I told you it's been a good week. I've been rebooted. I see things so clear, so much more clearly than I did before. You can even come to the place, though, where, I mean, even your senses can be brought under such dominion to the new man. That warfare, you win it every day. Let me just say it that way. No longer you win once a week. I mean, you win every day. Do you think Jesus won over his flesh every day? You do know he had flesh just like yours. His flesh would have liked a Krispy Kreme donut just like yours would like a Krispy Kreme donut. Now, I always pick that because it's easy. But it says he was tempted in all points like as we are. And we don't like to think that. Oh, no, no, no. No. Listen, being tempted is not a sin. It says he was tempted in all points. Now, tempted doesn't mean it dangled out there and you didn't want it. That's not even the temptation. How many of you are tempted to eat scorpions today? If I brought a box of scorpions in here, how many of you would be tempted to eat that? No, for the benefit of the audience, no hands are going up. That's not a temptation. It's not a temptation until something in you wants it. Well, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You know what the devil keeps telling you? He keeps telling you you're failing just because you keep getting tempted. And that's not the truth. Now, if you get tempted and go for it, thank God for the blood of Jesus on that mercy seat. And ain't no preacher going to take 1 John away from me. I'm telling you right now, 1 John 1:9, staying in my Bible. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I can confess my sin, go to the blood. It not only forgive me, but cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I'm not unskillful. I know how to get it back. Go right there. Now see, chapter 6, you never start a chapter with the word therefore. There should be no chapter division. This is the same thought. He's right in the middle of the same thought. So I'm going to read verse 14 and then chapter 6, verse 1 together here because they need to be together. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use of what? Use of the strong meat of the word. They've had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles, and he means the elemental first principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And that's where the body of Christ has got to go now. Now, when it says perfection in the Greek, it just means maturity. In plain English, if he was writing that today, he'd say, grow up. Let us not stay babies on milk. Let us grow up. Okay, how do we do that? Well, first off, not laying again the foundation. And everything he's about to list here is milk. Listen to this. Repentance from dead works. To a Jew, what does that mean? Y'all are scared. I don't blame you. Repentance from dead works. But the temptation for them is they're being driven forcibly by the devil and through the family and through jobs and through everything in the world. They're being driven back to the law. But since Christ, everything under the law, which one of you with the blood of Jesus already on the mercy seat, which one of you is going to bring a lamb and sacrifice that lamb and put that lamb's blood on his blood? You talk about a dead work. That is a dead work and it's unacceptable. You talk about, I mean, it's not even a little bit acceptable. It is an abomination. So we're going to see. Now, what we don't realize is we've had so much help from preachers. They have put us under the law in ways we don't even realize we're back under it. We have got a mentality of, if I do, I get blessed. If I do, I get blessed. If I do, I get blessed. That's the law. That's the law. That's the whole system of the law. I remembered something this week that the Holy Ghost said to me while I was still in the trucks. The first year I was praying in other tongues. I remember when I first heard it, I thought it was heresy. I did. I never heard anything like it in my life. I won't tell it to you, and you may think it's heresy. I don't care. But I heard this one day. I just prayed, just doing what Pastor Dave said. Driving down the road, praying in other tongues. Praying, 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 thinking I'm going crazy. The devil telling me I'm not accomplishing nothing. Praying in the Holy Ghost, haven't heard nothing for miles and hours, and praying in tongues. All of a sudden, I hear these words. This thought never went through the mind of Jesus. And I'm waiting for the thought. What is it? Here's the thought. What must I do today to get my Father to bless me. I thought it was heresy. Because I'll be honest with you, I was consumed with that thinking all the time. What must I do today to get my Father to bless me? That was my whole world. That was my whole mentality. Because I wasn't skillful in the word of righteousness. I didn't know that I had been made a son and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And my Father had already blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I had no idea of that. That I was to grow up and walk as the Son of God He had made me. And all that the Father has is available as I walk into what He has for me in His kingdom. And just be about my Father's business. Glory to God. That's where the church has got to go. To grow up and get that mentality. And boy, once you have it, they can't put you back under the law. Well, repentance from dead works. Well, that's dead works is the law. To a Jew, it's all that stuff. Offer a lamb, offer a sheep, do this, do that. Holy day, Sabbath day, all that stuff. All of it. He says, that's the first foundational principle. That's milk, the milk of milk. Repentance from dead works. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, I was going to do that first. Sorry. Incoming. Just a minute. I just work here. Okay. He wants to do it now, so we may come back to this. I have no idea. You might want to keep a marker there. Go to Galatians. You know, if you go to most of the epistles that Paul wrote, whether it be to the church at Ephesus, which he knew those people, he had been there, but like even to the Colossians, he had never been there. He had never physically met those people. So the letter he wrote them, it's all based on secondhand information. And now he knew the Philippians. But if you read all of those letters, they have a certain format. He'll start off saying, I'm Paul, an apostle. And he'll start saying all these good things about them. The first chapter and a half is all of the truth of the positional benefits that God has done for us in Christ. In fact, stay in Galatians. Well, you can keep in Galatians, but go to Colossians chapter 1 just for a moment. We'll come back to Galatians. He says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now notice how he talks to the Colossians. He'd never even met these people. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and it's bringing forth fruit, as it does also in you. And since the day that you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Now this goes on for a long time. And you'll find that same format in Ephesians, Philippians, nearly all of his letters. He'll start off just bragging on them and really laying out the positional truths of what God has done. Now the second half of those letters, he starts getting into their walk. Okay? But there is a big difference in one of the books, one of the letters. And it's to the group at Galatians. Now what? Go to Galatians. I want you to see how he starts this letter off. First off, he declares, not in just one phrase, that he's an apostle. Notice how forcefully he says it. I, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. In other words, no man made me an apostle, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In other words, I am an apostle appointed by God himself. Let's say it another way. You better listen to what I got to say. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now he does say, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Now he's not bragging on them. He's bragging on God. That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now who's he been bragging on? The Galatians? You've been bragging on God. Now look, already in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He doesn't have a chapter and a half of bragging on them. He goes right for the jugular. You know why? He preached the gospel here. He got them saved. He says, you started running well. But after him came these other preachers. And they wouldn't totally deny Jesus, but they would add the law. Mainly in that day, the big issue was circumcision. And they would teach, if you don't get circumcised, Abraham had to be circumcised. The first law of Moses, you have to be circumcised. And that was the big deal. And they're going, okay, yeah, you can be saved in the name of Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised. What they were doing, they were literally falling for the first elemental milk that was outlined in Hebrews. Repentance from dead works. He said, that's milk. You've got to learn that first. Repentance from dead works. And they were falling for the very first one. We can't be mature. We can't grow up if we don't be circumcised. They were falling for the very first trap of the devil. The very first thing that the writer in Hebrews says is milk. And Paul says, how serious? They go, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not that big a deal, Gary. You're just splitting hairs. Oh, really? Well, come right on over here to chapter 4. I wish we had time right now to do the whole book. In fact, go to chapter 5, verse 2, because he's got a lot he wants to do tonight. He says, behold, here we go again. I, Paul, the apostle, not appointed of man, but appointed of God, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, he's not talking about circumcision for health reasons like they do a lot of times in hospitals today. You know, most babies don't have a choice. You know, what he's talking about here is doing it under the law of Moses in order to get God to be pleased, or to get him to bless you, or for you to grow up, or to think somehow that'll make you more complete. If you're doing it for any reason under the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. And he goes even more beyond there. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, now he means under the law for that purpose, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever are of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. And what he means by that, it is one or the other. It is Christ or your works. There is no mingling of those two things. Last year we taught out of Hebrews, plainly, he has taken away the first that he may establish the second. It's not two covenants. The writer of Hebrews later on, he warns them. He lays it out like a lawyer, all the benefits of the new covenant and how there is no covenant to go back to. That first one's been done away. It's been fulfilled in Christ. It doesn't exist anymore. He says he takes away the first that he may establish the second. And near the end of it, he says, we are not of those that draw back unto perdition. That word perdition, you look it up for yourself, it simply means damnation. It means eternity in hell. And if you turn away from Christ to anything else to save you, that's where you're going to wind up. And you're going to be hated for preaching that gospel. You can already tell the way the world's going to go. It's inclusion. The last day gospel for the world is, you're okay, just so long as you're sincere, but I don't care. I don't know what they're. I don't know how far they're going to go. They're probably going to go so far as the devil will be saved before it's over. But that's what they're preaching. And boy, people like that. Oh, we're okay. We thought we was okay. You're not okay. There is only one name given under heaven by which man can be saved. That is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the world will hate you for that. You know? What they kept doing with Paul, they put him in prison. They was afraid to put any guards in there. He'd get them all saved. Got to get new guard. Bring more heathen guards. Bring Uga and Olga, as Dave would say. Get them saved too. How important is this? And I saw it so clear this week. We can't walk in our... He says it in this book. We can never walk in the fullness of our inheritance while we're still trying to earn anything from God. Back up. That's in chapter 4, the same book. Starting verse 21. It says, "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Now, y'all understand all of that, right? He's talking about Ishmael, who was birthed through human effort, a human plan. Abraham and Hagar, wasn't that her name? Abraham and Hagar, the Egyptian. And they produced Ishmael, and that's the product of the flesh. And he says, now that relates to Jerusalem now under the law. Spiritually dead people under the law, product of the flesh. But he who was born, so he says, he was born of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Isaac was supernatural. It could not happen without the operation of God. You, what it's going to say here in a minute, you are as supernatural as Isaac was. You could not be born again without the operation of God, the supernatural operation for him to quicken your spirit from death to life. Okay, well, he says that here. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now he's talking about Israel under the law. But Jerusalem, which above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." Now we, brethren, now here it is now. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You exist because God recreated you, child of God. You've been birthed from the spiritual loins of the last man, Adam. And it is as supernatural as what God did in Abraham and Sarah redoing their whole bodies where they could have Isaac. And they had him because God said they'd have him. Glory to God. Isaac was a product of the word of God, and so are you. You got that? You got that? You're a supernatural. I keep telling you, we ought to lock the doors and close the windows. You're not even of this world. Your meetings like this are for aliens. You know, God has snatched your body. It's in the invasion of the body snatchers, but God has snatched you. He has put a spirit of him in that human body. You're supernatural beings. You're on temporary assignment here. Your home isn't even here. It's heaven. God is your father. We, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. That's the exact warfare that was going on in Hebrews. They that were still of the flesh, the Jewish nation, they were putting great pressure. They were persecuting every Hebrew person who got saved and was born of the Spirit. They were persecuting them, trying to get them to go back under the law. It's always that way. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Did you know that Abraham pleaded with God for him to accept Ishmael? Abraham said, "Oh, that you would recognize Ishmael." In other words, if it had been up to Abraham, Abraham would have kept them both and made them equal heirs. And God said, "No. You listen to your wife, you drive them out." And here's the reason why. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You can't mix the two covenants. It's one or the other. God himself wouldn't let those two things coexist. It is one or the other. Drive them out, because If you stay under the law, you will never walk as an heir. Never. You'll be trying to earn stuff from God till the day you die. I'm beginning to understand more and more why we're not seeing what we all want to see. Ultimately, I want to see the church prosper. I want to see the finances flow. But more than that, it's all about revival. That's what it's about. To see the works that Jesus said we're supposed to be walking in. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the maimed made whole. People, that's inheritance stuff. Not earned stuff. That's full grown children growing up, walking as sons of the living God in the inheritance that has been given to them free by grace. It cannot be earned. But we keep going back in our mind underneath that kind of thinking because we are unskillful. We have not matured in righteousness and everything that goes along with righteousness. Go to Romans 5. You've got to get this part. If anyone earned anything under the law, it was Paul. Not only did he earn it, he was born into it. He says, I was born a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. On and on, he listed his pedigree. According to the law, blameless. And of course, we know nobody perfectly kept the law, but boy, what about the zeal of Paul? He did his best to keep it, and under the law, if you broke any part of the commandment, then you offered the appropriate sacrifice, and as far as God was concerned, you're okay, you're clear, not guilty. So he says, according to the law, blameless for that reason. But he says, I want you to know that everything I counted as gain, my heritage, my birthright, my zeal to keep the law, you could list my tithes, my giving, you could list everything that man had done till he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he says, you can pile it all up and just put it on the dung pile. I count all of that but dung for the riches of the righteousness which is by faith to know Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings, and to walk in the resurrection life. That's because he says, all that other, it's rubbish, it's dung, just doesn't matter at all, just take it away. I'm going to walk in what he gave me free. The righteousness which is by faith. Well, here it is. That same Paul who said that, he wrote this here. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 17. He's talking about Adam here. For if by one man's offense, Adam's transgression, death reigned. And that's not rain like falling from the sky. It's rain like a king reigns. R-E-I-G-N-E-D. Death reigned by one. Now let's stop right there. By that one offense of Adam, death reigned. I'd like to ask you, how much did it reign? 100%. There was no person born until Jesus Christ that did not have death reigning in their spirit. There was nobody who did not sin. Not one person, none. So it says, when it says death reigned, I mean, boy, did it. You know, Sue and I think about death reigning in us. One thing about us, we were real good sinners. I mean, we'd practiced. We were good at it. Nobody had a hard time. You know, Michael didn't have a hard time convincing me I was on my way to hell. I knew I was on my way. I was just trying to have a good time until I got there. You know? It was bad, you know? And death reigning, man, I think about death. Even in my own life. You talk about reigning, ruling. Death reigned 100%. Everybody from Adam to Jesus. But now notice this next part. If by one man's death reigned, and I mean reigned 100% of the time, much more, they which receive, notice it's receive, not earn, receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now that much more is important because I think how thoroughly death reigned in my life. Boy, did it reign. I'm just glad I didn't get caught for every sin. you know, I mean, it was bad. I know how death reigned. And then I think about the whole human race. There is no one who hasn't sinned. That death reigned 100%. But the righteousness which God gave you, not just the accounted righteousness that Abraham had. See, Abraham had accounted righteousness. God accounted him righteous, but he had a sin nature. God went a step beyond that. He put a righteous machine on the inside of you called a new nature. And he says that new nature, much more will it reign. Much more than what? Much more will it reign than death ever reigned over you before. Hallelujah. My God, I see, and I said, much more. We little Christians, you know, I hope I can live past sin till lunch. Dear God, we're babies when it comes to righteousness. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. Well, I'm just, you know, how I am. You just have to love me the way I am. You commanded to love me. You got to love me. And we are, and we will. But it doesn't mean you have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. And I'm seeing it much more. Well, but how thoroughly did death reign? I'm not asking you about your stuff. I know how it reigned in my life. These innocent people. Every evil thing. Where somebody can relate to. Did death reign? Thoroughly did it reign. Did you try? Did you try to get out of that more than once? Me too. I was going to clean up my life without Jesus. Reigned, didn't it? I don't care how hard you tried. I don't care. You can, as raised Baptist, you know, you wear out the knees of your jeans going back to the altar every Sunday, you know. And still, nothing ever worked until Jesus. All of a sudden, it's not just accounted righteousness. That's what Abraham had. You remember when Dave was, here, come right here. See, here's Abraham. You remember Dave taught us eloquently. Here's Abraham. Doesn't he look like Abraham? And he's walking through the promised land, you know. And God says, all that you can see, all that you walk through, I have given you. And Abraham goes, yeah. So here, I'll be the devil. I'll be the devil. Say, no. Oh, you be the devil. Come here. Because I'm teaching. I got to be God. Okay. And he comes up and he says, who are you to walk on my land? I'm the devil. This has all been given to me by the first man, Adam. Who do you think you are? Who gave you a right to walk in my land? So Abraham, he starts reaching through his wallet like Dave taught us. And he said, just a minute, I'll give you an answer. Just a minute. Nope, Visa. No, no. American Express. No, it's not the one. Diners Club. No. Ah, here it is. It's the Master Charge card. All of my sins. Here, take this, devil. Just charge it to the Master on the cross. I have been given accounted righteousness based on his finished work. See? And so if the devil tries to attack Abraham, God himself is Abraham's defender, even though he still got a sin nature. Because he was walking in accounted righteousness based on what was coming at the cross. But we have something more than that. Because Abraham still had that sin nature. We not only have accounted righteousness, God took his own nature and put it in us. So now we can walk right up and say, bow the knee, devil. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. This is God. Bow the knee.
I surrender.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be. Thank you all. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Christians aren't supposed to wake up every morning in fear. Oh, what's the devil going to do to me today? It should be the devil who's trembling over, hiding around the bushes. Oh, no. The Christians are about to wake up. How many blind eyes are going to be opened today? How many people are going to be saved today? How many legs are going to grow out? Where they're going to empty that children's hospital this week. Devil masters. Same way Jesus was a devil master. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That's you. Amen. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. He's just calling for us to grow up. Grow up and understand that gift. Did you see the gift? There's two things there. The abundance of grace, not a little bit. Notice, read it again. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now that gift I did that whole illustration. It's more than what Abraham had. It's more. See, religion will keep telling you, yeah, he's forgiven you, but he didn't change you. That's the biggest lie the devil ever told from the pulpit. The devil keeps lying. He wants to brag. Yeah, God can forgive you, but he can't change you. That's a lie. Amen. Yeah. He did change you too. He put a righteousness generator on the inside of you. It's called a new nature. And if that's not enough, he empowered that with the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost. Do you know where you go, God goes? That verse in Colossians, your life is hid with Christ in God. Remember those little Polish dolls that I brought back, that little wooden dolls inside another wooden doll inside another wooden doll? Well, I am in one of those dolls. I'm like in Christ, and Christ is in God. So for the devil to get to me, he has to get past God, the Father, past Christ, and when he gets to me, I got the Holy Ghost. The devil's in trouble. Not me. Unskillful in the handling of the word of righteousness. We've not known who we are. And we've got to grow up. You say, well, Gary, nobody's been preaching circumcision. I mean, that hasn't... I've been going to a lot of church services. They're not pushing that in our generation. No, but they're pushing something else. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3, they'll go right there. You don't need, I don't want you to turn there. You already know it by heart. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing more than you can receive. But you are cursed with a curse, even this whole generation. But you say, how in? Because you have robbed me. How in have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Malachi, dear heart, is part of the law. Paul said in Galatians, you don't get to pick and choose. If you keep one part of the law, then you're a debtor to keep the whole law. Now, people accuse me of being against tithing. I always pray the Lord forgives them. I'm not against tithing. I'm against tithing under the law. I think tithing is a good place to start. If what you're talking about is 10% of your income, y'all do know God expects you to support the ministries where you get fed, don't you? You're not stupid, right? You're not, are you? I'm trying to talk to you like intelligent adults here. The word plainly says, communicate, share with those who teach the word to you. Don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Plainly says, but it's not putting you under the law to do it. You're reasonable people, right? How many of you wants to see Dave? Now, clerking down at Home Depot is an honorable job, but I don't ever want to see Dave having to do that. I want Dave in prayer and fasting. Sorry, Dave. Because that's what he's called to do. You know, now, it would be okay. I mean, you know, Paul did it. He had a reason for doing it. What I mean is he had a tent-making business. He supported his own ministry. And, you know, he got accused by the other, quote, so-called apostles of being a lay preacher. Well, this Paul, you know, he's not even full-time. Can't you just hear him? You know? Dear Lord. But the way it's being taught in our churches, they turn right to Malachi, which is under the law. And they act, hey, I heard a new one this week. It's probably not new, it's just new that I heard it this week. A guy from Wyoming came up to me, and they had a visiting apostle in their church. How do you know he's an apostle? Well, he said he was. But he says, well, yes, the tithe belongs to the pastor. But the first fruits offering, that belongs to the apostle. And I'm going, where do they find the word apostle in the Old Testament? Where did they find that? Let's see. Do y'all remember the word apostle in the Old Testament? Do you? I'm trying to be nice. I got to be nice. Listen, that fella calling him an apostle that said that would not know the Holy Ghost if the Holy Ghost walked up with a red hat that said Holy Ghost on it. That's as false doctrine as you'll ever hear in your life. And I don't care how many PhD means post-hole digger to me. Okay? That is false doctrine. And it's a shame that the babies have been kept on umbilical cord. They've been kept on milk, that they don't recognize that for what it is. Now, I'm not, we should pray for that guy. You pray for that guy. Hope to God he's just deceived. You know, if he's doing that on purpose, you're in danger of hellfire. Read 1 and 2 Peter. If he's doing it on purpose to merchandise the sheep, your damnation slumbereth not. That's the nice way I'm doing it. What about Abraham? He tithed before the law. Well, he did. Okay, I'm going to recommend everybody tithe the same way Abraham did. Read it for yourself. First off, the tithe that he gave had nothing to do with his personal income at all. He didn't take a penny out of any of the spoils of war. It was all out of the spoils of war. He took 10% and he offered it to Melchizedek after they had already won the victory, by the way. And then the rest of the 90%, he gave it away. Have your people do that. See how long your church lasts. Well, that's what he did. But they'll say tithing, and they mean what, you know, because the sheep have been fed milk and on an umbilical, they fall for it. Abraham's tithe had nothing to do with his personal income. God had already made him very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. On that very operation you're talking about, he took 318 of his household servants to win that war. How many servants you got? And that was all before that tithe. And that's the only record that we have that he did it. What about Jacob's tithe? Okay. Jacob's tithe, if you read about it, was conditional. He set the conditions, not God. If you will bless me, if you will keep me safe, if you will bring me back, if you will prosper me, and if you will bring me back to this land of my fathers, then I will give you a tenth. And there's no record that he ever did. And where would he have given it anyway? All of the tithing that's taught in almost every church pulpit every Sunday is no less than what the Judaizers were doing to the Galatians. It's putting free men and women back under the law. If you're doing it to avoid a curse, or if you're doing it to earn a blessing, you still have the mentality of an old covenant person. You've not yet become skillful in the word of righteousness. You don't yet realize you're a son that's been given a full inheritance, joint heir with Jesus Christ. And we're just to go about laboring in our Father's fields and being about his business. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll just give it to you. He'll just give it to you. Ask it in my name, though, means you have yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have become a vessel through whom he can work. You're living his life through you, not your life through him. Exactly. Is that close? I don't know. I like it. Michael told me something the other day I'm still chewing on. In the early days, we all asked God, God, I want your help today. Help me with this and help me with that and help me with this. And that's okay. But see, eventually you come to the point, and Michael said this, I didn't, I wish I'd have said it, but he said it. Oh, man. He said to me, he says, I don't really ask the Father anymore to help me today. He said, Father, I don't want any of your help today. Father, I want you to do it all. And I want you to do it through me. It's good to have lunch with mature people once in a while. Isn't that good? Isn't that how Christ lived? It's no longer, you know, even Paul, he says, it's no longer I that liveth. It's Christ who liveth in me. Well, if it's Christ living his life through you, he says, I don't do the works. It's the Father in me. He does the works. Isn't that good? Father, I don't really want your help today. I want you to do it all. You do it all, please. Just let me be the vessel, one of the vessels, that you can do it through. Jesus, let's grow up. Let's grow up. Let's be like that. Y'all getting anything out of this? We got to leave religion behind. We've got to leave the law behind. See, if you don't have this foundation, as we go on, even if you're talking about kingdom finances, you can't have the mindset of a slave. I have a teaching series called The Serving Son. I really recommend you get it. It's the one that brought the best balance to my mind to understand this servant and sonship thing. See, because the only pattern for us is who? Looking unto Jesus. He is the Son. He is the absolute in full maturity for us to behold. He is the Son. He is the heir. He is everything that we aspire to be. But at the same time, he was the fully yielded servant to his Father. The absolute vessel. Father, I'm not really asking for your help today. I want to be the vessel through which you can just do what you want to do. That's Jesus, the Son who serves. That's who we've got to be. You know, Jesus said, he said, you know, if I sow my best seed, God will say, he would send 12 legions of angels. Is that what he said? If I sow my best seed? He said, if I just asked my Father. You see the difference? If I asked my Father, he would send 12 legions of angels. Dave said one time, you know, that'd be enough not only to get him off that cross, that'd be enough to destroy the whole world. One angel in the Old Testament slayed, was 186,000 men in a single night? One angel. 12 legions? That's enough. That'll take care of the whole world right there. Talk about power. We don't think like that. But yet Jesus said, and it's Dave laid the foundation. He's been laying it all these years. He does it with such humor. You know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger comb. You know, if Arnold gave me his muscle, I know I'm not a lifter like Dave. But if Arnold gave me his glory, what would I have? I'd have his muscles. If the computer nerd gave me his glory, I'd be able to hack into the FBI files. But what would I have if Jesus gave me his glory? And he said, Father, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. Well, what did I get? I got the standing of sonship. I got the standing of a son and a joint heir. Now, I may be a thumb-sucking, bottle baby, crying little baby heir. But I intend to grow up. Get off the milk. Get onto some strong meat. So I don't always, not always in danger of being put back under the law again. Because you can't do it if you're full grown and know who you are. That, what I mean is that gift of righteousness. It's a gift. You can't. I did not earn the position of being O.R. Carpenter's son. In fact, I had very little to do with it. I exist because of a covenant, a marriage covenant, between two other people. And I exist because of that. You exist as a Christian because of an unbreakable covenant between two other individuals. God the Father and God the Son. Because of that covenant, you are born again. You're His child. You didn't earn it. You are it. Now you got to learn to operate in this new family. Learn, let the Holy Ghost be your teacher. Let the Holy Ghost instruct you and then train you. Grow you up. How do you function as a child of God? I'm glad I go to this church, by the way. Don't you wish there was a church where if you are born again, you could somehow be tutored 24 hours a day if you wanted to be, as much as you wanted, as long as you wanted, and someone from that kingdom was assigned to tutor you, where you could, no matter how bad you are, no matter how dense you are, he could take you and step by step, line by line, you could be taught how to operate as a child of God in your fullness. Don't you wish there was a church that could teach you those things? Thank God we go to this church. I can't believe how blessed I am that God would have me here, that I could hear the things that I've heard. Now, that's the good news. The other side of that coin is, we are some of the most accountable people on planet Earth. We are accountable. To know what I know and not put it into use. He still loves me. But boy, he's wanting me to do what I know. What I mean by that is employ the prayer time and the worship. Oh God, I learned so much about worship this week, you guys. I'll tell you now, Gary from this point on is a greater worshiper than Gary has ever been before. Now that's been that's not been one of my strong suits. It from this day forward, it is. Just get out of my way. I'm going to worship God whether you do or not. Okay? It's not like I haven't ever, but I've never really, I feel almost about worship now, like it's all of a sudden the blinders are off, like the blinders came off in the beginning about tongues. All of a sudden I'm going, oh, where have I been? Well, I know where I'm going to be. That's worshiping at the feet of my God, my Father. You can do what you want. I'm going to worship Him. Amen? Amen. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now, which are you? First covenant? Second covenant? Come on, be bold. Second covenant. Are you a sinner trying to be blessed? Are you the righteousness of God that's already been blessed with every blessing that He has? Okay. Are you trying to become righteous? Are you already declared righteous, now learning how to walk in the righteousness He's already given you? See? It's all the difference in the world in your thinking. I'm telling you, it's exactly like this. If suddenly you got a legal notice in the mail tomorrow that says we've suddenly discovered that we don't know how we missed it before. We suddenly discovered you're heir to the Rockefeller Foundation and you're worth $40 gazillion. Would that change your life? This revelation will change your life exactly like that if you ever get it. Because 40 gazillion is chump change to God. Whatever a gazillion is. It's chump change. You know, you leave that for a tip. If you're God, how much of a tip did you leave? 40 gazillion. Okay. What? Yes, sir. Romans 5. It's where we're going, church. Oh, my goodness. Look at verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and boy, did it 100%, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Did you see that illustration a while ago? When Abraham, the child of God, in that illustration? When you walk up and you say, in the name of Jesus, devil, bow the knee. That's what reigning is. When your flesh rears up and we're trying to tempt you to sin. That's in Galatians 5. It tells you, till the day you get a new body, that war is going to go on. The new nature wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the new nature. As you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and walk in it, you're the one that's going to reign. And you go, flesh, bow the knee. We're walking as children of our Father today. You're going to bow the knee. I don't care if you like it or if you don't like it. You're going to bow the knee. Why? Because you're no longer a babe in righteousness. You've been established who you are. Nobody can talk you into going back under the law anymore. And you know that in Christ Jesus, you can do all things through Him. He's the one that's strengthening you now. You're the one that's to reign. Amen? Hallelujah. Raise your hands. Just stand up for just a minute. Just stand up for a moment. Father, I declared the best I was able with the gift You've given me, the truth as You've shown it to me this week. Father, with my mouth now, I'm going to obey you exactly what you said. Every person in the sound of my voice, whether you're hearing it tonight or 10 years from now, I declare to you in the name of Jesus, you are a child of the living God. You are a joint heir with Christ. You have been given grace upon grace abundantly, and you have been given the gift of righteousness. You are a child of Almighty God with vast resources at your disposal. You do not need to earn any blessing from God. You need to hear His voice, obey His voice, ask Him for what you need, and go forth in the name of Jesus to rule and reign over a lost, dead world. I decree it in Jesus' name, and if you agree, say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth of the gospel right there. You grow up in that, they can't manipulate you with the law anymore. You gotta know who I am. Hallelujah. Now see, most of my messages are not altar call type messages. I can't lay hands on you and impart any of this. What I imparted to you was faith, if you want to know the truth of it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's been imparted to you tonight is His word. Faith comes by that way. When you leave here, you're a different person. I decreed it already. You are a different person in the name of Jesus. No longer manipulated by the law. That same letter in Galatians, though, says, now look, walk in the liberty He's given you, but don't use that liberty for the occasion of the flesh. We're going to get into that at a future date. And that's the big danger. You get people free of tithing and a lot of them quit giving. Where does it say that? Where does it say that? Okay. See, it got real quiet again right there. Don't use your liberty to let the flesh go wild. Paul talked about that in Romans 6. See, I'm just going to start teaching again. Father, I just thank you again for this service. Thank you for these people. Father, that's enough for tonight. I know we've already hit the result. But Father, I just thank you. I know when I'm done. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now just lift one of your hands to heaven. Say this. Just say this with me. It's good for you. Say, Father, I heard your word tonight. Faith came into me. Father, I'm like a cow. I'm going to chew the cud. I'm going to chew on your word. Chew on your word until I get it. I'm never going to be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.